For good health and good flavor, say to your dealer,
a dozen Sunkissed lemons, please.
Head of Hopper's Hollywood. Miss Hopper is just going on the air. Will you listen, please? Head of Hopper's Hollywood. Miss Hopper is just going on the air. Please listen.
Head of Hopper's Hollywood.
Yes, it's Head of Hopper's Hollywood, brought to you this week and next from New York by the growers of Sun-Kissed Oranges and Sun-Kissed Lemons. You know, New York has some very excellent places to eat. Famous steakhouses here are rather proud of the way they cook meat to retain all the natural juicy flavor. And they like you to enjoy it as is, with only the addition of lemons to bring out even more of the natural flavor. That's because lemon juice doesn't change or hide the good taste of fine meat. Just add zest and tang. Add color and appetite appeal, too, when you decorate your meats with thin lemon slices garnished with paprika or pimento. Next time you buy meat, get a dozen Sun-Kissed lemons. A dozen, because you can use them so many ways. Sun-Kissed, for California's finest and juiciest. Now, here's Miss Hedda Hopper with Hollywood News and New York News from New York.
Thank you, John King, and hello, everybody. My most important news today comes from Washington, D.C. I understand that Wild Bill Donovan leaves within the next 2 days for England at the request of the President and Secretary Hull to take a quick look-see at the real conditions over there. He returns by way of the Orient and will be gone altogether only 5 weeks. I'd say that Bill had a job cut out for himself. I also hear that Bill Bullock twice has turned down the ambassadorship to England, but would accept a cabinet job. I'm wondering if it might be Secretary of Labor. The opening of the Metropolitan Opera was fabulous, funny, and furious. Even in Hollywood, I haven't seen a larger battery of cameras. And to watch society matrons scuttling from one door to another to make the main entrance so that they got in all the pictures was as funny as anything I've ever seen in Hollywood. I'm speaking now of the matrons whose faces match their chinchilla coats. I was proud of our stage women. The two best-dressed women there were Lily Pons and Mrs. Larry Tibbett. In the last month, Lily and I have met in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York. Her chinchilla coat was the most opulent, and her necklace, a calla lily design made of diamonds and emeralds, all but blinded me. Jane Tibbett wore a diamond necklace that looked like Niagara Falls, but Mrs. Bill Hayward, former mother-in-law of Connie Bennett, wore the biggest rocks. I asked about her pearls because it was Mrs. Hayward who sold her Fifth Avenue home to Cartier's for a string of pearls and a snack of real estate. And Maisie replied, "I'm just too poor to wear pearls this year." Jeanette McDonald fooled the press by coming in the wrong door. This was Charlie Knickerbocker's 27th Metropolitan opening. Incidentally, Inez Robb, who is a great friend of the Duchess of Windsor, flies south Monday to meet the Duchess and stay with her while she's having a tooth gang. Most of those who attended didn't come to hear the music, but to show themselves off at the grand staircase or in the bar. I'm certain they chose the Masked Ball only because it had 5 acts. I don't know yet what it was all about. Greta Garbo and Gaylord Houser arrive in New York in about 3 weeks for another swirl of social activities, and perhaps tea again with Mrs. Neely Vanderbilt. And if the weather continues cold, she'll probably wear her turtleneck sweater. Daryl Zanuck is pretty upset because they didn't use a picture of Don Ameche on those new 10-cent stamps of Alexander Graham Bell. Daryl just couldn't wrangle it. Found Charlie Chaplin dividing his dancing attention night before last at the Persian Room of the Plaza between Sylvia Fairbanks, who still bursts into tears whenever Douglas's name is mentioned, the Countess of Jersey, and Mary Duncan Sanford. Charlie's doing all right for himself. Lillian Gish, when she was top movie star, used to be called the Iron Horse. She loved it. Now Demas Taylor calls Jeanette McDonald the Iron Butterfly. I'm wondering how she'll like it. Fans don't seem to be bothering Madeline Carroll, who is domiciled at the Ritz-Carlton, where I'm also stopping. I saw her French aviator in the elevator at the same place. Madeline planes west tomorrow. Because I return to Hollywood on the 14th, I'll have to miss the biggest party of the year, the Star-Spangled Ball at the Astor for the Allied Relief. It sounds like a honey. Our most prominent comedians, composers, and playwrights will be bartenders, and they'll include Ed Wynn, Al Jolson, Eddie Cantor, Bill Gaxton, Irving Berlin, Robert Sherwood, Moss Hart, and the glamour girls include Helen Hayes, Mrs. Vincent Astor, Whitney Bourne, Constance Bennett. They'll be taxi dancers, and they'll get 50 cents a dance, and for each dance sold, they receive a star. So the girl whose gown will be star-covered at the end of the evening will have done some traveling. They'll have 5 bands, Ben Burney's, Eddie Duchin's, 3 others, a colored nightclub with Ethel Waters, Bill Robinson, and Paul Robeson. And their selling slogan is, "Well, who isn't going?" Joan Crawford is the center of all eyes when she's escorted about town by handsome Charles McCabe of the New York Mirror. Just before I came on the air, Kay Kaiser phoned to invite me to a party they're giving for him at the Waldorf tonight. And has he been busy? When his picture opened here, he did 9 shows a day. The only trouble with Kay is he's never learned how to say no. I bumped into Arthur Treacher yesterday, who really looked like the butler he plays so well on the screen. His wife took him shopping, and he was actually carrying parcels. Jimmy Dunn's pals have tried, but haven't yet gotten him into a nightclub. I guess what he does instead? He goes bowling. Well, I finally had a ride in Major Bowe's car, which is a city block long. Everything you've heard about it is true, including the gold cocktail bar, jade trimmings, and disappearing windows. The Major's a little hurt because his chauffeur turns on the electric heater every time he steps inside. And instead of grousing because the government takes 85% of everything he earns, he's proud of it. Maybe you'd be too if your income was $22,500 a week net. Charles Lawton is still very ill from that ear infection he got during The Hunchback. Well, Gary Cooper is now all set for Sergeant York, and Sam Goldwyn gets Betty Davis for Little Foxes. And that coming marriage of Brenda Fraser and Shipwreck Kelly must be just around the corner, because he's already selected furniture for a new apartment on which he's paid a deposit. And the romance may be all over between Bonnie Baker and Aaron Tucker, as I hinted to you a month ago, but there are those here who believe they've already been married. There was some fuss between them when they started the picture for Paramount, because Bonnie's salary was only $90 a week and Tucker's around $4,000. Yes, an adjustment was made. New Yorkers never change. It's open season here for Californians the year round. Meet any New Yorker, and at the slightest lull in the conversation, he'll ask, "Well, and how do you like it here?" Then he puts on that cat that swallowed the canary look, as much as to say, "Wiggle out of that one." Well, they just love to watch the struggle between our politeness and loyalty, and of course the answer is always, "I love it here." It might be different if I couldn't get my California orange juice, but...
Don't worry about that, Miss Hopper. There isn't anyone within sound of our voices who can't get California oranges 12 months in the year. Right now, a new crop of those seedless navels is coming in and being welcomed everywhere as the finest fruit in several years. And they give you real orange juice, so deep golden in color you can actually see the difference. So fine flavored and richly satisfying that you can taste the difference from the first sip. And as you'd expect, that means you're getting more vitamins and minerals in your California orange juice. But don't think that sun-kissed navels are just to drink. They're seedless, best for juice and every use. Now, Hedda Hopper brings us the second chapter in the true-life story of Dorothy L'Amour, Paramount film star whose latest picture, Moon Over Burma, will soon be seen in theaters throughout the nation.
If you ask Dorothy how she became a picture star, she'd tell you that she owes everything to her mother. For Mrs. L'Amour made every effort to prepare Dottie for a career, believing it to be the only way for her to rise from the poverty and hardships of her cheap surroundings. And so it happened that during her last 2 years of high school in New Orleans, Dottie appeared in the annual New Orleans Beauty Contest. On the second attempt, she won, was crowned Miss New Orleans. Then came her first stage appearance, a vaudeville tour with her friend Dorothy Dell. It's here that we start our story. After the show had been on the road 2 weeks, Miss Dell got an unexpected break, burst in to tell Dottie the good news.
Dottie, have I got something to tell you?
You have? Well, gee, what is it?
I just got a telegram from Florence Ziegfeld. He wants me for the Follies.
Oh, gee, that's wonderful. Weren't you surprised?
Well, of course. I thought the agent was kidding me.
When do you leave?
Tonight. They're letting me out of the show. Dottie, you're going with me.
Going with you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I've got it all figured out. We can both live on my salary until you find a job.
Oh, no, Dee. No, I couldn't do that.
Well, Dottie, why not?
Well, because I'm going home.
You mean you're going to quit the show here just to go home?
Yes. Oh, you know I don't like it, and, well, now that you're leaving, I just couldn't stand it. I don't think I'm cut out to be a showgirl.
But, gee, Dottie, what do you do?
Oh, I'll find a job of some kind. Anyway, I'll be with Mother. I guess I'm just homesick, Dee.
So Dottie packed her bags and went back home to New Orleans. But she couldn't find a job. Then she and her mother went on to Chicago. Mrs. L'Amour felt that opportunities for Dottie would be much greater there. It's hard to believe it that they arrived with only $4.30 between them. Then they both started looking for work. Mrs. L'Amour went directly to an employment agency.
Really, I'm not particular. I'll do almost any kind of work.
Well, I'd certainly like to offer you something, but I don't know if it's... Oh, excuse me, please. Oh, Jefferson's Employment Agency. What? Oh, well, I don't think I have it. Oh, hold on a minute, will you?
Listen, madam.
Yes? Candell's salad chef just quit. You know how to make salads? Because if you do, it's a job for you.
Salad?
Yeah.
Tell him yes. Of course I can make salads. Of course I can. Beautiful salads.
Hello? Well, if you're stuck, I've got someone right here in the office now. What? Oh, you want it right away? How about that, baby? Can you get right over?
Could I have 30 minutes?
She'll report in 30 minutes. Okay? Fine. Goodbye.
Thank you so much. I've got to hurry. I haven't a minute to lose.
But, lady, Candell's just around the corner.
I know, but I have to go to the public library first.
Public library? What for?
Find out how to make a salad.
In the meantime, over at Marshall Fields, a personnel manager was talking to Dobby.
Where are you from, Mr. Warren?
New Orleans.
Had any previous store experience?
No, but I could learn. I have had a little stage experience. Perhaps I could model in the store and attend sales classes.
Well, we've a long waiting list of sales girls and models. However, I might be able to start you as an elevator girl. Would you be interested in that?
Oh, of course I would. I'd have to learn how to operate an elevator, though.
Well, that can be arranged. We'd like you to report tomorrow morning.
So both Dottie and her mother went to work in Chicago. The hours were long and pay was small, but together they managed to live and yet had enough left over to pay for Dottie's singing lessons. Then, 6 months later, while Dottie was working, it happened.
Going up, please. Stand back and face the door, please. Well, suffering cat. It isn't Dorothy L'Amour.
What?
Why, Dee Dell.
Why, Di, I've been trying for ages to find you. What in the world are you doing in this cage?
Not so loud, Dee. Second floor, kitchenware, stove. I'm making my living, Miss Grady. Electrical refrigeration, appliances, model kitchen, household aids, and cooking school. Second floor. Let them out, please.
Are the electrical washers on this floor?
Yes, madam. Down to the end and to your left.
Oh, thank you.
Going up, please. Imagine seeing you here, Dee. Dottie, now, really, you're not doing this for a living. What do you think?
Oh, gosh, Dee, you look simply wonderful. Your clothes are stunning. Listen, Dottie, I've got a lot on my mind. When do you get off for lunch?
Noon.
Well, I'll meet you at the employee's entrance. Is that okay?
I'll be there, Dee.
Well, I'm going to get you a real job.
Third floor, Missy Ware, handbag.
A job singing with a band.
What? Costume, jewelry, lingerie, gloves, stockings, notions, ladies' dress.
On Friday, we'll tell you how Dee Dell came to Dottie's rescue and how this led to her first singing engagement with Herbie Kay's band. Dottie today was played by Jeanette Logan. And now, here's John King playing Santa Claus a little bit early, but...
Well, I do feel that I have that old Christmas spirit, Miss Hopper, when I can make an offer like this. It's a beautiful, practical, large-size serving spoon in original Roger silver plate and in the exclusive California blossom pattern. It's really a valuable piece, guaranteed in writing by the world's largest silversmiths. We will send you one of these fine serving spoons for just 25 cents with 6 sun-kissed lemon wrappers or 25 cents and 6 trademarks shaved from sun-kissed oranges. Address sun-kissed, Meriden, Connecticut. I'll repeat that. Just 25 cents with either 6 sun-kissed lemon wrappers or 6 sun-kissed orange trademarks to sun-kissed Meriden, M-E-R-I-D-E-N, Connecticut. So, don't put it off. By all means, send for your California Blossom serving spoon today. This offer is limited to the United States. Now, Hedda Hopper previews.
Comrade X, previewed in Hollywood last night, brings to the screen a new Hedy Lamarr. With the aid of Ben Hecht's script and Clark Gable, she becomes a stock comedian and forgets all about glamour. And so this is your Sunkiss correspondent, Hedda Hopper, saying good afternoon to some of you, good evening to more of you, and good luck to all of you.
And this is your Sunkiss spokesman, John Reed King. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.